Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
Hello, hello, hello again. And welcome to All Learning Reimagined. And I'm your host, Teresa. And I'm bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Well, I had such a huge response to last week's topic. I recorded another show, so it's extending on what we actually talked about last week. So today we're actually going to be looking at catering for the different needs of children. So I will link back and thread back to last week's show. And if you haven't heard last week's show, you can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined, and you'll be able to find the recording there and all of the articles that are archived as well with all of the past shows. So that'll be really interesting. But the inspiration for this show actually came from a post that I saw recently, which was from a counsellor. And on the post, it sort of had sticky notes, and it had probably five or six sticky notes, and I just chose three that I would like to read to you. These sticky notes were written by children for the counsellor. No names, but it's the message that I really wanted to get across. So the first one's from a nine-year-old, and the nine-year-old wrote, "My parents are always busy on their phone. Why am I here? It makes me want to leave." The second one was written by a seven-year-old who wrote, "My dog gets more attention. Dad says it's because the dog can't talk, and so I stopped talking." And the third one was written by a six-year-old who said, "If I ran away, my parents wouldn't know. They don't even say goodnight to me anymore." So as a parent myself, when I actually read this, it just squeezed my heart, basically. And it really made me stop and check in because, you know, am I present with my own daughter when she wants to play cards or show me her latest creation? Am I actually fully engaged with her myself? Or am I slipping into that habit of becoming distracted, which is where, you know, everywhere I look, I'm watching parents in playgrounds, children playing, and the parents have their heads down in a phone. It seems to be happening more often, and I am totally guilty of it myself. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up today, because it's not just parents, it's also teachers who often get distracted because they're so busy doing everything that they need to do and juggling. Sometimes we're not fully present when we have these children in front of us. And it actually did make me stop and go back and have some more conversations with my daughter, you know, about what she's learning in school and the relevance of it, and then made me stop and think about what type of role model I am for her, and not necessarily, you know, do as I say and not as I do. You know, am I being a good role model? And so that's sort of what I wanted to bring out first of all today. And then, because I think it's a powerful reminder of what's actually important. And let's face it, our children are what's important. They're everything. And so how well do we really know our children and ourselves? And this then leads me into, for years and years of being in a classroom or as a leader, a school leader, and working with staff as well, I've noticed that lots of people talk about learning styles. You have a learning style. Personally, I completely disagree with this. I think people have learning preferences because it depends on your life experiences and the lens that you have as to what your preference in learning is. And sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let people do things their own style, their own way. However, I discovered that a lot of children and a lot of adults often acted in certain ways because they were trying to fill a need that they had themselves. So I'd often hear someone talk about or whinge about a child. Oh my gosh, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're saying this, they're saying that. And the first thing I would think of was, one, what need are they trying to fill? And two, what's everyone else's take on it? Because you don't just work alone. Sometimes you're reacting to the environment around you. Could be a multitude of things that are actually helping or setting that child or that adult, for that matter, off with whatever they're doing. And that, it links back to the old-fashioned Glasser choice theory, which we learnt gazillion years ago, back in university, back in the day, but it still seems fairly relevant today. And he talked about the basic humane needs, about human behavior and it being purposeful. And what do we do to meet one or more of those five psychological needs is what he was talking about. Personally, I feel like there's a lot more. But he talked about the big five, which I really feel are still very relevant in today's context. And that is love and belonging, connection and friendship and acceptance. Sometimes you have children or adults, any age really, people who really seek that connection. And sometimes people say, oh, that child's such an attention seeker. Actually, no, they're usually seeking connection. So it's changing the lens of how we see others and appreciating where they're coming from and then helping to help them to fill their need or create an environment that actually suits them so that they can glow and they can thrive and feel safe. The second one is a power need, which is when children really go for that achievement. They want to feel capable, they want to feel like they're in control and they have influence. This is really interesting because you often see people who use power in a dirty way. They try and bully others or stand over others. And usually they're doing it because they have somewhere in their life they're feeling powerless. So they're trying to capture that power in another need. Now, I'm not talking about psychotic narcissists and all those sorts of people. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about every day Joe Blow child or adult for that matter, if you're working in with adults. Third need was a freedom need. This is me. I have a high freedom need. I need independence. I need choice. I need autonomy. If you give me too many rules or put me in a box, I won't work. Quite frankly, I just won't. I just don't function. So I completely relate to this one. For me, a freedom need is really hard. If you've got a child that's got a high freedom need and they just want to run and be outside and play and work with their hands, sitting them down in a chair for 6 hours in four walls is absolute torture for them. So it's a matter of going, okay, what can we do to balance this and help create an environment for people who have a high freedom need. That goes for adults in the workplace, for that matter. Number four was the fun need. Now, that's usually your class clown, your joker. Even if you go on tour somewhere, there's always someone that tells the dodgy dad jokes. That tells the jokes and they're rid of a joker. That's because they have a high fun need. They like to play. They have joy. They love learning through curiosity. Personally, I'd love to see everyone have a high fun need, but unfortunately, society today seems to have squashed that a little bit. But it is still there and it is still worthy of acknowledging and thinking, okay, what are we doing? Is it work, work, work? Are we having that time to stop and play and relax and laugh, to be able to fill that need as well? The last need, according to Glasser, was the survival need, which is safety, food, health, shelter, the physical need that, of course, we all need in order to be able to survive, which is really important. Although, if I spoke to my daughter today, she'd probably say Wi-Fi is not on there. We need Wi-Fi. That has to be a need as well, which is quite hilarious. But unfortunately, today, there would be a lot of people that do feel like they cannot survive without Wi-Fi or internet, and having that technological connection as well. So personally, I would leave that off that list. And it is a bit of a joke, but it seems to be something that has snuck into a lot of people's lives. And when you say to children, close that laptop, put away that iPad, get out your books, or let's go and actually build something with your hands, sometimes you get a very interesting reaction. Very interesting reaction. I've observed some things that would just you just shake your head and go, oh my goodness, goodness gracious me. But anyway, so when children in particular are trying to meet these needs, it's usually because they don't quite have the tools or awareness to meet their needs in a balanced or socially acceptable way. And what's socially acceptable? Depends on your culture, it depends on your values. There is no one size fits all. But in the society that we have currently, although it does seem to be dismantling very quickly from where I'm sitting, their behavior really becomes a kind of message. It's an understanding to for us to be able to think, okay, they have that wisdom and they have that self, well, it might not even be that self-knowing. They're acting in order to try and fulfill that need. And it really is up to us as adults to be able to look at it and go, well, what is it that they need? For example, if you've got children that like to boss other people around, obviously they're trying to feel, it's a likely they're trying to fill a power need. And sometimes they might feel a little bit of lack of control in other areas of their life and they want to feel capable or in charge. Or maybe perhaps they're just testing out the waters and seeing how things go. But a really good healthy redirection for something like that would be to give them a leadership role. Can you lead this group activity, or can you choose the book we're going to read today, and give them choice and give them some sort of opportunity for them to be able to step up and lead? Can you come up and explain the rules of the game that we're about to play, or can you come and help set up? So there are a lot of different things depending on the child that you can do to help them in a very gentle way, and they don't even need to know it, in order to be able to fill that need, and then they feel like they're a little bit more grounded, a little bit more centered. Another one would be, children who just completely refuse to follow directions. I'm pretty sure we've all observed this. Some of us might actually be one of these people. But refusing to follow directions, for me, in my experience, usually goes back to a child or a student that has a really high freedom need. They want choice, they want independence, and they're asserting their independence in the world because they feel controlled. And bravo to them for really speaking out and doing what it is that they want. I know some people say, no, you need to sit down and be compliant, but actually, do you? Do you really? If you really feel like you want to do something else, shouldn't you be free to be able to express it in a positive way, I guess? So a healthy redirection for that can often be to have structured choices. So, do you want to do this now, or would you like to do this after lunch? Or to do this and to do that. And I know that there's some people rolling their eyes at me right now going, no, you just tell them what to do and make them do it. Yes, you could do that, or you could give them a choice. It doesn't matter what the choices are, it's usually the fact that they have a choice that really seems to help. I remember, back in the olden days, about 25 years ago, I had a class of students, and it was in primary school. So I guess the children were probably about 10 or 11 years old, and they had a really high freedom need, like almost most of the students in the class. It was quite unusual, very high freedom need. And what I ended up doing was I started my day with something I called a walk and talk. So we would go outside before we even went into the classroom. We would walk around the oval. A lot of the girls would actually walk and chat, and they wanted to really talk, but the boys were competitive, a lot of them. They had surges of testosterone and they really needed to move because, they go stir crazy if they're in the walls all the time. So it blocks your natural instincts to be sitting all the time. And they would love to compete, a lot of them, not all of them, but most of them would like to run or jog around the oval. And, the girls might walk around the entire oval, which is basically a grass area. They might walk it once around the oval, and the boys have run it three times and lapped it. And they just simply loved that. It was really fantastic. I also found for that class, I took my class, my lessons outside as much as I possibly could, just got outside of the classroom, and gave lots of different choices for when you finish this, you have these different options, so that they did have a chance to be able to express what it was that they needed. And that worked really well. Now, remembering back to a different class that I had, that had a very high fun need. Oh my goodness gracious me, I do remember this year. Because all I wanted to do was just laugh and play, and I didn't want to get anything done, which was, all well and good in small doses, but I still had things that I needed to achieve with them, and they became bored very easy, and they craved connection through laughter a lot. So what I did with this class, was I actually built in a lot of movement, a lot of creativity, a lot of quick brain breaks. So rock, paper, scissors brain breaks, competitions, balloon games where you would have several balloons in the room and the children had to keep the balloon from from falling on the ground, but they weren't allowed to use their hands and they could only touch the balloon once. They couldn't tap it twice in a row. So games like that were really useful. And this class actually invented a new game called the Whoop Whoop game. And it was hilarious. So when they all got their work done, the whole class, they were allowed to play the Whoop Whoop game. And no surprise, it involved a whoopee cushion. And what the children would do is they would sit in two circles. They planned the game. One circle were boys only, one circle were girls only. Not my idea, the children's design. They had a whoopee cushion per circle and a dice. And they would roll the dice, and if it landed on a six, then that person had to go and sit on the whoopee cushion. And they could sit on it however they wanted to, and you can imagine the sounds that came out of it. And they would just peel over, some of them crying with laughter at these disgusting sounds that would come out of the whoopee cushion. It was just hilarious. And it was quite contagious, I guess you could say. You couldn't keep a straight face. So the Whoop Whoop game was very popular, and I actually kept that game for many years to come. It's still something I pull out today every now and then if I feel like it's going to be useful or engaging for, depends on who the target audience is, I guess. That class as well, who had a high fun need, also decided I always negotiated things with my class. So every year we would talk about what do we feel like the class jobs should be. And there's always a job chart and something like that that's in a school. And I would let them negotiate it. And this class actually wanted a class DJ. And we had happy hour, although it wasn't an hour, it was actually 1 minute. So we would have 1 minute on the clock. They had bubble blowing, they had jokes. The class DJ went on and put a song, which was actually vetted by me. We had to vet different songs that they could play. Some of them would sing, some of them would dance. It was just hilarious. So, and then when happy hour was over, they would all just sit back down again and just work. It was really strange. They would just work because it's almost like they got it out of their system and then they could sit and focus. It was so much fun. Not something that I would highly recommend for everybody. But for that class and that particular group of students, it just worked a treat. It was really amazing. Really amazing. And then of course you've got children who are really clingy and or they're excluding peers, they're excluding other people. It's likely that they might have a high love and belonging need, and they're just really trying to feel safe and accepted. So sometimes, for children like that, you might encourage buddy systems or have grouped storytelling or have shared projects or even things like turn to the person next to you and have a discussion about this. So when you ask a question and they're having a chat just one-on-one with the person next to them, but it's that feeling of that connection, which is really, really useful. And so that's another little tip of something that I've done to help fulfill needs, based on everything that I've shared so far, pretty much. I know I rabbited on a little bit, but hopefully it all made sense and it might be helpful for you. I mean, really, adults don't need to educate children. We just simply need to create the environment and provide the resources and the conditions, and then they do the rest themselves. They take we take their natural abilities away from them when we put them in over-regulated environments and we prevent them from educating themselves. But sometimes we just need to give them a little bit of nudge, or provide that circumstance or that environment that will help them to thrive. Because, if they're out of their home environment and you don't know them as well as what a parent does, parents who are homeschooling really know their children, and that's a huge advantage to have that relationship that's already there. But when you have 20, 25, even up to 30 children in some classrooms, I've taught classes, very large classes in some instances, in some places. It's really hard to get to know them and to cater for all of their needs all at once, which is why it's good to be able to negotiate and let them have a say and self-reflect and know who they are. Because, in my opinion, education starts with ourselves. So when the children can reflect themselves, get to know who they are, what their own preferences are, possibly reflect or discuss, why do I prefer it that way? And to trial things a little bit new in a safe environment is really fantastic life lessons. Really, really fantastic. I mean, last week I shared an example of home learning and how I used to cater for needs of children. I'd interview the family and we would actually come up with a home learning grid together. I would usually, well, I always started with the parents first because it was really great to connect with the parents and know what their values are and what their home circumstances were and all of the other commitments that are being balanced and juggled outside the home. And some parents would come and say, they wanted 3 hours of homework every night and others didn't want any homework at all. And I was able to cater as best I could under the circumstances for what the families and for what the children needed. And then the following term, I would get the children to review it with their parents, and they would review it together and then help come up with, okay, what's it going to look like this term? Personally, not a fan of homework at all, but this way actually really worked, particularly when you had things like gratitude journals and doing home chores, music and exercise and a really good variety. It really seemed to work quite well. So I would highly recommend it for anyone who hasn't had a go. And if you did want to have a look at the example of the grid, I did publish it with last week's podcast. So it'll be on my landing page as well on BBS Radio. Okay, so, oh gosh, I think I've just blurted out all of this different information. I mean, I've had so many different children. Like, I've taught so many children over the years, and they're all so special, and they all have such wonderful quirks that I just adore. Another class that I taught 1 year loved to talk. And I mean, oh my goodness, I thought I could talk, but I just could not come to shut up. And we actually decided as a class, okay, what can we do about this? And we had this big discussion and we brainstormed all of this stuff. And they actually decided to run a radio station, which was brilliant. So they designed and ran a radio station at lunchtime at the school. So I got speakers. We actually blasted it out of the classroom windows, which was hilarious. They had to apply for the jobs that they wanted and all of the different positions that they wanted, and they had different segments, different music, skits, blasting out jokes. It was just incredible. Timetabling, they interviewed different classes around the school and had special requests, and it went for a long time. But it was a really great chance for them to get and talk and collaborate. It was fantastic. It was really fantastic. It was like a real radio station. And in fact, we did connect with a local radio station, and they did broadcast on a local radio station as well, a little community radio station, because they just got so into it. It was fantastic. And it was great because back then, the curriculum wasn't so structured as it is today, and I was able to take all of the different skills that we needed to learn and use it in this way, and the children were the ones that came up with the idea. It was a huge project and it was a lot of work on my side. Don't get me wrong, it was a lot of juggling, but I loved it because you could see that they were just coming alive and they were able to really hone in their skills and grow and trial new things. It was just fantastic, really just fantastic. Now, the last thing that I wanted to share with you today was actually two analogies, two stories. They've been around for yonks. I don't even know where I heard them from, but they're two that I have used many, 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 many times when talking to different children in different situations. So the first one is really about a lesson about presence and knowing where you're driving yourself. You know, what direction are you going in, pretty much. And this was really useful for children who are anxious, because, you know, anxiety is really fear. It's fear-based, in my opinion, it's fear-based. And it's talking about, you know, a wake, which is the water that's behind the boat. So when you have a little boat, a dinghy or a speedboat goes past, and in the water, you always have that wake, the waves that are behind the boat going behind it. And we would draw a picture of it and we would talk about it. And we would say, you know, imagine your life as a boat moving across the water, the wake with the ripples and the waves behind you. All of that wake and the ripples behind you is actually your past. It's your memories, it's your mistakes, it's all of the moments and things that have already happened. And the key is don't let the past steer your boat. So it's really important. I mean, it shows where you've been, but it can't decide where it is that you are going because you have to be present. You have to be in the now. You can often staring so far staring backwards and replaying and relooping old stories, old regrets, old fears, and you forget that the only thing that's directing and the rudder is for our future and what we want to create is right now. And so we would talk about intention and awareness and do lots of breath work, but we would focus in the present. And you know, your hands are on the wheel, sun is rising on the horizon. And you're steering with clarity. What is it you want? Where do you want to go? What's your direction? And let's focus on that. I really found that that was really great for children to look at that being present and focusing also on what they want to choose today. So it was a great analogy, and very useful tool. And another one that I used, the second one, and this is the last one that I'll talk about today, is about the blowfly and a wasp. And this was one that I would always bring up when I wanted children to just try and think outside the box, because quite frankly, there should be no box, and think about problem solving. So I would always talk about, you know, on a sunny day in a kitchen window, outside the window of the kitchen, there was a gorgeous garden, and stuck inside the kitchen was a blowfly and a wasp. And the blowfly saw the beautiful garden and it would buzz and buzz and buzz at the window and headbutt, thump, 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 and hit the glass for hours and hours and hours trying to reach that garden until basically it bashed its head so much it got tired or died. You know, dead blowfly at the window. The wasp, however, would bounce off the glass and then fly all the way around the room. It would bounce off a wall, back to the glass, back to the fridge, back to the wall, back to the glass, and it would continue trialing different directions, different strategies, just flying, flying, flying all around until it finally found an open door and then out it went to the garden. And so the lesson, obviously, for the children was if you keep trying the same thing over and over again and it's not going to work, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, you're a blowfly. Come on, people. The children always thought that was hilarious. Or can you be a wasp? Stop trying to think. Just try new ways. Trust. Trust being a key word. Don't give up. Pause. Be curious. Adapt. Explore. Experience. Get out there, so that you're not getting stuck. So we often asked ourselves in the class, oh, what would the wasp do? Was sort of like a key saying that we used as well, which was always fantastic. So my question for you as a parent or an educator or anybody that's listening to this right now is when it comes to the education of our children or your children, are you a blowfly doing the same old thing or are you a wasp? And I am going to leave it there. So thank you everybody for joining us again today. And we will talk to you or listen to you or connect with you again next week. So thanks for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Explore, experience, express, go out and live learning. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.